Kumuyi, welcome, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Please welcome Holy Ghost congregation this morning in Jesus' name. The Lord anoint you. The Lord empower you. That you, see me, will experience Holy Ghost power to do exploits in this generation in Jesus' name. Father, we come. We come as your servants, as your sons and daughters, as your ministers, as believers in the only begotten Son of God. And we come so that you pour more grace into our lives. Amen. More of your goodness, more of your power. Empower us, Lord, that we in this generation will do exploits in every ministry. Amen. Confirm your power, presence, and all your promises in every life. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. You can sit down. We come as believers. We come as members of the body of Christ. And we come as ministers in the great ministry of the great commission has committed into our hands. We come as followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, just to be empowered, enabled, so that we can do what he has called us to do. And today we're laying the foundation for exploits in ministry. Everything has foundation. Every man, if he's going to do anything significant on earth, must start at the foundation. Any institution must start at the foundation. Any church must start at the foundation. And as we come into the ministry, we start at the foundation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The foundation of God does not move, change from generation to generation. It stands firm, stands sure. The foundation of God does not move from denomination to denomination. That you say, here is this denomination, here is this institution, and because of the different name, therefore the foundation of God does not remain constant. No, and there is something unchanging. There's something unchangeable in the foundation of God, and that foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone, everyone, everywhere, everyone in every generation, everyone in every place, everyone that nameth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, it says, if a man therefore wanting to serve God, a man therefore, a minister therefore, a believer therefore, wanting to build on this solid, steadfast, sure foundation, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. The Lord will honor you as his vessel. Amen. Sanctified and meat and feed and suitable for the master's use, the Lord will use you. And when he picks up a vessel, a tool, an instrument, and that tool, that vessel, that instrument is in the hand of the master, that the person, and I'm talking about you, that will do exploit. Yeah. And it says, and is prepared unto every good work. It comes to prepare us for every good work. The foundation for exploits in ministry. We're looking at three things. Now, message today, number one is the spiritual foundation for desirable exploits. Number two is the sure foundation for dynamic exploits. And number three is the steadfast, standing, stable, solid foundation for distinguished exploits. Look at number one. Number one is the spiritual foundation. Now, the Christian life has foundation, and the life of the one who is going to grow and do exploits for the Lord has foundation. And there is a spiritual foundation for exploits that are desirable. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted, and shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Do what? Do what? Now, the people who are weak do not do exploits. They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The people who are unstable, they are neither there nor here. They do not do exploits. But the people who are strong, the people who are steadfast, the people who remain standing, whatever may be happening around them, they are the people that know their God. They know their God, that he is the Savior of the whole world. Look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, says the Lord. And the people that experientially, they have come to the Lord and they know God, and they say, he is my Savior, he is my Father. The people that know, they are born into the kingdom for such a time as this. And because they are born into the kingdom, they know him, Abba Father. They know him as the great creator God Father in heaven. There is a personal testimony in their heart. They know their God, and they know him because they are saved. They know him because they are born into the kingdom. They know him that he is the provider. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, and they know that anytime, every time, the need of their life will be supplied. They know that he is the one, the provider of all things. That ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one of those children of God, they ask. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And he says, so what man is there of you? If his son shall ask him bread, will he give him a stone? If he ask for an egg, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, being natural, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him. The people that know their God, that he is the provider of all our needs. For my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those who have that intimate knowledge, those who have that experiential knowledge, those who have that knowledge by faith, the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? What are you preparing to do? Shall do exploits. Look at that verse again. The verse has two parts, separated by a colon. The first part, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. That is, all around we know there are people that do wickedly. At the same time that the people who do not know God are doing wickedly, at that same time the people that do know their God shall be strong. And the people who are weak, who are wicked, and the people who are sinful, and the people who are evil are corrupted by flatteries, and they flatter one another, and they do evil by the flattery of the evil one. As that is going on, like one stream, there's another stream going on. There are people that in spite of all, despite the evil in their land, and despite all the corruption, and despite all the contamination of the world, and despite all the evil contingencies in the world, there are people that stand clear, that stand firm, that say, whatever they do, here I stand. I will be strong. Thank you for that. Say that now properly. You know, there are people that say, look at our community, everybody is corrupt, everybody is weak, everybody is sinful, everybody, it looks like, you know, the members of, you know, some churches are gone, they're backsliding. And because of that, they said, I would have been standing, I've been steadfast, but I cannot because there is corruption in them. No, you don't have to be like them, but from this day, you will be strong. Yes. And it's in that strength of the Lord, the strength given by the Holy Ghost, you become so strong, you will do exploits. Yes. And I will do exploits. Look at three things here. Number one, the foremost peace of God in the heart. Number two is the fruitful peace with God in his house. Number three is the false peace of the godless and the hypocrites. Look at number one. Number one, the foremost peace of God in the heart. Now, if we're going to be strong, the heart has to be strong. But if the heart is divided, if the heart is confused, if the heart is incomplete, if the heart is worried and bowed down, if the heart is in turmoil, there's no way we can be strong. Therefore, as charity begins at home, so doing exploits begins in our home, in our heart. And he wants us to understand the foremost thing, the first thing, the foremost peace of God in the heart. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, you understand, we're going out to do exploits so that sinners will confess and turn from their sins and become justified. And the person who is going to do that and bring sinners to forgiveness and freedom and justification, he himself must be justified, and he must believe in by the faith that made him just. For the just shall live by faith. Now, what do you think of doing exploits? Is it just jumping up and healing the sick indiscriminately? Yeah, that's not exploit. You know, you see the word of God, and if you're thinking of that, Balaam did that, but he didn't have peace with God or peace with Israel. It's not just, you know, jumping up and doing this and doing that. No, it begins at home in your heart that you are justified by faith. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every exploit you are going to do, you are going to do it through Christ. And so you yourself must start by having the peace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. In verse 2 it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. We have access, we have the key, and the open door is before us, that we have access to the very storage of power, the very storage of the grace of God, and the storage of the goodness of God that flows from heaven. But if we don't have access to that, we'll be like those prophets of Baal in the time of Elijah, and they knocked and they kicked and they shouted, nothing happened. You must have access, and the access we have is by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at verse 3. In verse 3 it says, and not only so, look at that, we're justified, not only so, we have peace with God, not only so, we have access by faith into the grace of God, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Now, doing exploits might bring some persecution. Think about Saul. Saul did not have any experience of persecution until he began to do exploits, tribulation, trouble. The man was trouble free, persecution free, all the days before the Damascus Road experience. And it was when he began to do the exploits that the persecution came, that tribulation came. But then it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, for the people who do not know God, persecution works destruction. For the people who do not have grace, more abundant grace, tribulation, trouble works their devastation. They're totally destroyed. A little trouble, a little fire, a little conflict, a little challenge, they collapse. But it says, because we are out to do exploits. I was thinking, you are going to go out to do exploits. Amen. Yeah. And because of that, the tribulation, the persecution, the trials, the fire of Nebuchadnezzar will work in our lives perseverance and patience and perfection in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. In verse 5, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Your hope will not be brought to shame. Amen. Your hope and your expectation will not be cut short in Jesus' name. Amen. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I'm sure you are looking at these verses because there are people that do not have the love of God in their heart when they think they're exercising the power for exploits. They go everywhere, they damn everyone, condemn everyone, and they want to call down fire to consume all the people they meet. And Jesus said, ye know not the spirit ye are of, because they misunderstand exploits as going there, destroying that, pulling that down. And they're not pulling down just the kingdom of Satan, they're pulling down men and women that Jesus died for. That's not exploit coming from heaven. But when the peace of God fills our heart, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm reading there from verse 14. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he, Christ, is our peace. He is the one that will energize us, empower us, enable us, envelope us to do the exploits. But he must be resident in our heart. And he, as his resident in the heart, is our peace, who has made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us. If you look around, you'll find people who are very busy and they are committed to raising up walls of partition. They do that every day. They do that every chance they have. What God in Christ, what God through Christ, what God by Christ is breaking down. They are busy, and they say they are called of God. They're busy building that same wall of partition every day. In every message that they give, they erect, they build, they increase the thickness of the wall between them and us, between the Jews and the Gentiles, between other churches and their church. But if we're going to do exploits, we'll join Christ instead of building up what Christ himself is pulling down. We join with Christ and we understand he has made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, the foundation of peace, the peace of God in the heart. Look at number two. Number two is the fruitful peace with God in his house. In his house. We must remember, this is the house of God, the church. And he says, it's my church. And he says, upon this rock, I build my church. How do you build the church? The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, doing exploits in his church. We start the exploits in his church, in his house. And from his house, from his church, we carry the exploits to the world. The healing begins in his house. The deliverance, the dominion begins in his house. The power manifestation, the power demonstration, the exploits begins in his house. And we have that fruitful peace with his, with God in his house. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 57, and we're reading from verse 19. It says, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off. If you are going to do X, that the message the Lord has given us, go declare peace, peace, and install the Prince of Peace in the heart of the people. Because the world does not have peace. The wicked does not have peace. And in your going out to do exploits for him, do exploits by him, do exploits through him, you establish peace in the hearts of the people. The people who are far away from God, you call them calm. Because the Lord wants to establish his peace in your heart. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near. Even the people who are near, so to say, how are they near? They carry the Bible. How are they near? They have been baptized as infants. How are they near? They are communicants. How are they near? They're near because they were born by church-going parents. And they think they're already there, but they do not have the peace of God in their heart. And those who are far away, give them, show them the Prince of Peace that comes into their heart. And those who are near, religiously, you also show them the peace to the people who are near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Look at verse 21. In verse 21, there is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. So, if you only heal the wicked, but the Prince of Peace is not established in their hearts, that has no exploit. If you only bring a so-called deliverance and so-called prosperity unto the wicked, and it remains wicked, you have not done any fruitful exploits. But when you see that man, and you know that there is no peace to the wicked, rich, prosperous, having a large family, yet is wicked, and there is no peace there. And if your exploit is going to be fruitful, you bring the peace of God in their heart. We're looking at number three here. Number three, the false peace of the godless and the hypocrite. There is the false peace that the hypocrites have. And you want to wipe up, wash up, take up, destroy that false peace. There are people who build on rubbles, but the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, I've raised you up, appointed you as a prophet to the nations. He said, first, you root out, you pull down, you throw up, cast away before you build. You have to take away the false peace before you can establish the true peace that is coming from on high in the hearts and the lives of people. In Psalm 28, looking at verse 3, Psalm 28, verse 3, draw me not away with the wicked, with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. The people that move around, peace, 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 and their heart does not have the Prince of Peace. Outwardly, they look so peaceful and so gentle and so harmless, and yet inside them, you have terrible abominations. Inside them, you have the groundswell of evil in their hearts. And it says, that's false peace. Somebody just, you know, is going quietly, not born again, does not have the peace of God, does not have the testimony of the Holy Ghost in his heart, that if he died right there, he was going to heaven. And it's, you know, you confront him, and he might be a church man, a church woman, but has never met in an experiential way the Prince of Peace in his heart. And even though he appears to be a gentle person, a quiet person, an innocent person, an harmless person, a peaceful person, in the heart there is mischief. In the life there is misconduct. Now, that false peace, you wipe up before you can introduce the real peace that is coming from the Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah chapter 9, we're reading from verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 9, reading from verse 8. Their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in the heart he layeth his weight, is waiting for him for an unguarded moment to shoot at him, to destroy him, to do evil, and he will do that by enemies. All he wants to shoot him down, get him down, get him off his feet. Might choose occultism, might choose other things, but that's what's in the heart. But he speaks peaceably to his neighbor. That's false peace. And if you are like that, and you're looking for how you can do exploits, you must first of all get rid of the false peace in your heart, so that you have the foremost peace from the Prince of Peace, and you have the fruitful peace that comes from your experience directly with the Lord Jesus in salvation. We come to point number two. Point number two, we're looking at the sure foundation for dynamic exploits. Dynamic exploits. You know, that moving door, you know, you're just getting near the door, and automatically the door moves or slides. It has foundation. It's not just standing on nothing. All dynamic people have foundation. And the dynamic doers of exploits, you have foundation. And it's a sure foundation. It's a standard foundation. It's a stable foundation. It's a steadfast foundation. It is a scriptural foundation. The sure, solid, steadfast, standing foundation for dynamic exploits. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. You're going to disappoint yourself if you go out wanting to do exploits on the foundation of man, on the foundation natural, on the foundation of a hero, on the foundation of somebody just like yourself. But if you go out at all for exploits, it must be on the foundation of God. And there are people who don't even bother to pray because they have the foundation of a man. And the man is pushing them, engineering them, instigating them, propelling them, driving them. And they're satisfied with that. And they don't know how to pray. They don't have connection with the God of heaven. But they have a kind of shaky foundation. But they don't know it's a shaky foundation. They have so much confidence in a man that they go forth in the foundation of a man. But nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's the foundation. That if we're going to go out in the sure, steadfast, stable, solid, scriptural foundation of God, we depart from iniquity. Verse 21. In verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. The people who go only on the foundation of man, there's no heavenly honor for them. Well, God is saying, if you are so human, unwise, unintelligent, as to replace the God of heaven with a man on earth, then go yourself, go your way, do what you think you can do on the basis of your foundation with man, any man, and then you don't have the honor that comes from God. But when you purge yourself from all these, you will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, purified, cleansed, made holy, and your meat suitable and fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Prepared unto every good work. Look at three things. So number one, the foundational purity before power for exploits. Number two, the fatal power without the purity experience. Number three, the faithful prioritization of pure expressions. Number one, Number one, the foundational purity before power for exploits. You know what God says? God says, be ye holy because I am holy. He said, that's the only way we can walk together. See God and look at the attributes of God. And then pray and let those attributes of God be inscribed in your heart. Let those attributes of God be recreated in your heart. Let that attribute of God be visible in your life. He said, it's only then I'll walk with you and you'll walk with me. So then he wants his character, his purity, his holiness to be in us. So visible, that's foundational. The foundational purity before power for exploits. Matthew chapter 5. I read from verse 6. Matthew 5. We're looking at verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. The first thing to thirst for is not working miracles. No. Don't put the cart before the horse. Let the horse remain in front of the cart so that the horse in front will draw the cart to follow. For the people that put the cart before the horse, they are seeking for power before purity. No. It's purity before power. And it says, blessed, fulfilled, favored, happy are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 8. In verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Psalm 24. We're reading from verse 3. 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend, climb up, go up into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Which is the holy place? That's the place of dwelling by the holy God. Which is the holy place? That's the place that the holy angels serve and stand. Which is the holy place? The place that has no sin, no sinner, no crime, no criminal, no death, no darkness. It's the place that has no prison. That's heaven. And he says, who shall ascend to that hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Get to heaven. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, he that has clean hands and a pure heart. Purity. The purity that God sees that is transparent. The purity that God sees that is transformational. It's transformed your life. And you are not what you used to be because the Lord himself, by the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb, has cleansed you, has washed you, has purged you. You have that experience of the Lord. And it says you are the person, you have pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's the fundamental, foundational purity that God expects before you have the power that comes from heaven. Look at number two. Number two, the fatal power. Without true purity experience, power. Power. Without the experience of purity. And they say, I'm not a specialist. That's what they say. They are not specialists in holiness. Why not? You must be. They say they are not propagators of holiness. They are only for power. My friend, that's going to disappoint you at the gate, at the pearly gate. When you want to get your heaven, you'll discover at that gate, the first question is not, how did you manifest power? The question will be, were you pure in heart? Because blessed are the pure in heart. Only they shall see the Lord. It's going to be a tragedy. It's going to be an eternal, everlasting tragedy for the people that have tried to manifest power. Fatal power without purity. We're looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, friends, brothers, sisters, ministers, bishops, what does it profit a man if he casts out all the demons in every village in this state and yet he does not get to the kingdom of heaven? Friends, what will it profit you if you were to heal all the sick people in every hospital in the land, and yet at the end of the day you are not admitted, you are not accepted into heaven? What if you're lifted up like Capernaum right into the sky and you have visibility to all the people of the world and you're popular, and yet you don't get to heaven? Because Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. In verse 22, many will say to me in that day. Always think of that day. There are people, the only day they think of is this day. What I do today, manifestation today, demonstration today, miracles today, works of prodigy today. Think of that day. That's the day that really matters, because that day will determine what happens for the rest of eternity. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works, exploits? Verse 23. In verse 23, and then will I profess to them, exploit doers. Then will I profess to them, prophesying ministers. Then will I profess to them, great miracle workers. Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, he wants us to get rid of iniquity. Iniquity in the heart, iniquity in the private, iniquity behind closed doors, iniquity in the night, iniquity with women, iniquity with men, iniquity with the bottle, iniquity with the leaves they roll together, iniquity with marijuana, iniquity that is done scientifically, iniquity that is done electronically, iniquity that is in the nature of man. It says, if we don't get rid of that, and we're running after miracle, prophecy, speaking in tongues and all that, it says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're looking at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity, agape, love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Look at verse 2. In verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, agape, love, I am nothing. In verse 3, it says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Think about that. The programs that we may have. And we have a social program. We have a spiritually dynamic program. We have a miracle working program. And we have days and we have teams to do all that. If that does not come from a heart with heavenly love, a heart that is full of the love from the throne of God passing through Calvary into our hearts, it says it makes us nothing in the sight of God. And in that day, the day that really matters, it says, we will be disappointed. And though I give my body to be burnt and have not charity, agape, love, it says, it profiteth me nothing. Consider it then, because there is fatal power if there is no experience of the purity of heart. Number three, faithful prioritization of pure expression. The purity that is expressed through your talking and through your movement and through your ministry and through everything that you do, that you prioritize purity of heart in all your planning, in all your projects, in all your personal achievement. You prioritize purity of heart, that you are saved, you have peace of heart, peace with God, and the God of peace abiding with you. And you have the purity that Christ gives, purifying their hearts by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, reading from verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, we have the promise that he will do, and he can do great things through us, because he that believeth in me, the works I do, he shall do what he promised, and greater things than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, what he promised. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, he says, because I said, I saw you under that fig tree, under that tree, you say, I am the Son of God, ye shall see greater things than these. We have these promises to see greater things than these. And he says, I give unto you my name, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, believe it in his heart, and will not doubt, he shall have whatsoever he says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will give unto you, because I go to the Father. Having these promises, dearly beloved, we have the promises, and the promises are yea and amen. It says, having all these promises, therefore, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. We prioritize that. The promises, the possibility of doing exploits does not cancel purity of heart. No, it even elevates, it exalts, and it makes us to prioritize the purity of heart, purity of life, purity of action, and purity of behavior. It says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. I know we've read that before, but many people don't prioritize that. If they see any kind of behavior in their lives, in the home, that shows they do not have the love of Christ towards the spouse, the wife, or the wife towards the husband, they don't pray and fast because of that. He's just my husband. And since he became husband, he became the common man. The nearer we are to them, the more common we become. And there are people that do not think they need to love the wife in a special way. We're always together. They can show love, civility, gentleness to the people outside, not the one inside. They see too much of one another to give any honor, any love, any esteem, any appreciation to the one at home. But here is what we prioritize. And do you ever fast so that whatever is in you that is making you not to love your husband or your wife or your spouse or your partner, your companion as you ought to. Whatever is causing that in your life, you brush it out, fast it out, take it out. Now, many people don't do that. They rather fast for exploits. What is the priority? The love at home and the love of your children. That's the priority. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. In verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. That's the priority. He wants the church to be a glorious church. The minister wants to go to the world and be a great demonstrator, a great performer, a great dramatist. But Jesus' priority is so that his church, the membership of his church, will be full of grace, godliness, and the glory of God, that he might present ye to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, that the mark of the evidence of the old man, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Holy and without blemish. He wants us to prioritize that. He wants us to bring that to the front burner, that we will be without blemish, without blame, without spot, and without the mark of the old man. And this day, begin to make that the priority of your life. You have the faithful prioritization of pure expressions. We come to point number three. Point number three, the steadfast foundation for distinguished exploits. Steadfast foundation for distinguished exploits. Now, we cannot build without foundation. Many people try to. They don't build a physical, visible, and natural building without foundation. But their own heart, their own life, their own home, their own ministry, and the calling God has given them, they try to do that without foundation. How so? In Luke chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The things which I say. What did he say? Ye must be born again. Why do you call him Lord, Lord, and you are not born again? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What did he say? Except your righteousness shall exceed, be greater, go beyond the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Why do you build without a foundation? Look at verse 47. In verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, heareth my sayings, that he must be born again, heareth my sayings, The blessed are the poor in spirit. Heareth my sayings. Blessed are they that mourn for their sins. Heareth my sayings. Blessed are the meek. Heareth my sayings. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Heareth my sayings. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, and they are purified, the pure in heart. Blessed are those people that are peacemakers. Blessed are they that do rejoice in persecution. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, and doeth them, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. In verse 48, he is like a man which built an house, and he digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49. In verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not. There are people, they collect messages like young people collect butterflies. They hear, and that's the end of it. They do not observe, they do not practice what they hear. And the Lord said, it's a worthless enterprise to hear and not to do. It says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and there was nothing to show for all the things he had been doing, because everything has now collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the profitable exploits for his endless enduring kingdom. Number two is the predicted exploits of the end time kingdom. Number three, the persuasive exploits for the eternal kingdom. Look at number one. Number one is the profitable exploits for his enduring kingdom. Profitable to him himself in the kingdom, and profitable to the people, the brethren, brothers, and sisters in the kingdom, and profitable for the world, because he's converting the people in the world to come into the kingdom. Profitable exploits in his enduring kingdom. Daniel 11, I'm reading from verse 32. Daniel 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly. There are people, They hear of salvation, they keep on doing wickedly. They hear of the judgment day, they keep on doing wickedly. And they hear that day coming will determine their place in eternity. They keep on doing wickedly. No change, no transformation, and they do not become new creatures in Christ. Such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. The devil keeps on corrupting them, flattering them that you are doing well. That's nice. You did well. And in the flattery of the devil, it's only on that final day that the flattery will be exposed as deception. But look at the second part here. But the people that do know their God, and they say, I don't want to know anything or anyone except Christ and him crucified. You can present something to them, and it's coming from the God of this world. They say, I don't want to know anything except the God of heaven. I don't want to know anything except the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know nothing except what comes from God. I have no other power. I recognize no other power. I respect no other person except the person that is standing for the God of heaven. Those are the people, and they are rigidly, righteously committed unto the God of heaven. It says the people that know their God shall be strong. Am I talking to people that know God is money? Yeah. And they shall do exploits. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Profitable exploits. Yeah. You need to examine the kind of exploits you are called to. And they say, come. Because we have gathered people together, apostles, they are there, prophets, they are there, evangelists, they are there, pastors, they are there, teacher is what is lacking outcome, and support what the fivefold ministry ought to do. And you examine the purpose, and the goal is to exalt man. The purpose and the goal is to exalt, some personalities in the world. That's not profitable for the kingdom. And I hope you'll say no. Can you say that no now?
No.
When the project is to exalt man, when the achievement is to lift up man, and when it is just to celebrate, and the celebration is they are celebrating man. They are not celebrating the man of Calvary, the man of sorrows. They are not celebrating the one who died for us on the cross of Calvary. It's to celebrate man. I pray when such an invitation comes to you, the boldness to say no, the Lord grant unto you.
Amen.
You only want to be involved with profitable exploits. We're looking at Acts chapter 11, reading from verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. In verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, He didn't see the gifts of man. He didn't see the maneuverings of man. He didn't see the achievements of man. He saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all. That what purpose of heart they were cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man, a gracious man, a good man, a gifted man, a good man, a giving man. He was used to giving. He'll give his very life, give all his ability to help and to lift up the name of Christ. Gracious man, gifted man, giving man, a good man. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And look at, here is the profitable exploits, and much people was added unto the Lord. Much people added unto the Lord. Look at number two. Number two is the predicted exploits of the end time kingdom. We shouldn't overlook this, that there is a predicted exploit. Look at Daniel 11. We're reading from verse 28. Daniel 11, verse 28. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant. Now you can tell who this person is. Is the Antichrist predicted that he will come, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits. You see that? It's predicted that the one to come at the end of time will also do exploits and return to his own land. Look at his description. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, this one predicted that he too will do exploits. Look at his description in verse 3. And a mighty king shall stand up, that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. Self-willed, stubborn will. He will do according to his will. Well, don't be surprised then. You go out, you want to do exploits for the Lord, and you might find, you know, a person there, whoever, and is there to do his own will. Self-willed, self-aggrandizement, self-promotion. That while you are doing exploits, he on the side too is doing some exploit, but according to his will. Look at verse 16. In verse 16, it says, but he that cometh against him shall deal according to his own will. It's repeated again. You know, you have to examine the exploits. Is this for the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of self, to uplift self, to exalt self, to promote self? And none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land which by his hand shall be consumed. In verse 36, it tells us And the king shall do according to his will, according, and shall exalt himself. You see, exploits on the one hand, profitable. Exploits on the other hand, predicted that the Antichrist will come. The beast will come. The self-willed man will come. And we're told in the New Testament, as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. And now are there many Antichrists in the world. The people who are there, they infiltrate into the church to do their own will. They move out into the world saying that they are preaching some kind of gospel, to do their own will. And they don't convert anybody out of sin, bring them to the Savior. They don't transform anyone, making them to think of their sinful life and coming unto new life in Christ. They are only there to do their own will. I pray you'll not join them. And when the call comes, that one is there doing his own will and crowds are following him. That one is there doing his own will and preaching his own private, special message, secret message. And people are following and they say, come, come and join. We're doing our will here. Come, do your own will here too. I pray God will help you to say no. Say it well.
No.
Matthew chapter 24. I'm reading from verse 15. Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. The Lord Jesus said, you will see what we have read. The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. And when you see that, standing right there in the holy place, don't get surprised and don't get kind of, you know, excited, jolted, as if, what is happening? That's what Daniel prophesied. So don't allow that to shake you. Know your God. Be strong and keep on doing exploits. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christ. He said, so that's the word of Jesus, and false prophets. Those are the words of Jesus, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Verse 25. In verse 25, behold, I have told you before that the predicted exploits by the followers of the Antichrist will have the spirit of the Antichrist. They will do their own exploits. Don't let that weaken you. Know your God and do profitable exploits for the kingdom in Jesus' name. Number three now. Number three, we're looking at the persuasive exploits. Persuasive exploits for the eternal kingdom. You go forth and you go out to persuade men to turn from their sin and to turn to the Savior, to turn from evil and to turn to godliness. It tells us in Romans chapter 15. Reading from verse 18. Romans 15, 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought, has not done, has not worked out by me to make the Gentiles obedient, to persuade the Gentiles to obey the gospel and to leave and forsake their idols. That the real exploits, when you make the Gentiles to forsake their idols, the idolaters to forsake their idols, the sinners to forsake their sin, and the proud to forsake their pride, and to come before the Lord fully, surrendering to the Lord. That is the kind of exploit that makes the kingdom of God to expand. And he said to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Verse 19. In verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, exploits, by the power of the Spirit of God, not by the power of the spirit of the world, not by the power of the spirit of occultism, but by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. That is the exploits, persuading men to turn from all these foolish idols and to turn unto the living God. And they're hearing, and they're persuaded, and they turn unto the Lord. Acts chapter 9, I read from verse 33. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 33. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years. He was bedridden for 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Verse 34. In verse 34, and Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Amen. That's exploit. That's exploit. The man had been bedridden for 8 years. And here Peter comes. And he comes in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Ghost, and with the promise of God of Christ. Behind him, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, they lay hands on the sick and they recover, and they take the serpents and throw them away. And it says that the signs will be following them as they follow the way of the Lord. And they went forth, and everywhere the Lord walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. And Peter now said, arise and make up thy bed. And he arose immediately. That's exploit. But what did that exploit do? Very important, because when you talk of exploit, that sick man had now been healed, raised up, and was healed instantaneously, fully whole. Now, what did that do? Did that make Peter a god? No, it's not to exalt self. What did that do? Did that make them to worship Peter. No, that's not what it does. The persuasive exploit is to turn the minds of the people unto the Lord, unto the Savior. You are not the Savior. I'm not the Savior. We are not Saviors. Christ is the Savior. Look at the result in verse 35. Verse 35, and all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, that is, they saw him who was raised from the bed of disease, affliction, and sickness. They saw him, and they saw the manifestation of the power of the Lord, and they turned to the Lord. They didn't turn to Peter, they turned unto the Lord. They didn't turn to a denomination, they turned unto the Lord. And that's the prayer you're praying, that one, you have the peace of God in your heart. That's the prayer you're praying, that you have the purity that comes through the sacrifice of Calvary to be registered and painted and inscribed in your heart. And then that, the power that does exploits, that will lift up the name of Christ and lead people from their sin and to come to Christ, that will take place in your heart. And then you'll be contributing positively, in a dynamic way, in a demonstrable way. You'll be contributing to the kingdom and to the increase of the kingdom of God. And they turned unto the Lord. I pray that today you will have what you're seeking for. Yeah. And have the power for exploits and the peace that passes understanding in your heart, your life will be there in Jesus' name. Amen. And I pray that today you will prioritize the purity that Christ makes available. Amen. Because what if all these things are done? The sick healed, demons cast out, and those who are oppressed, they are released, and there's provision, there's wealth, there's money, there's everything. But on that day, the final day, you're not allowed to go to heaven. What will all these other exploits, what will they amount to? They'll amount to nothing. So you want to come before the Lord, and you want to prioritize the purity of heart, your thirst, your hunger, after righteousness, after holiness. Because when you're purified, you're washed from every stain, from every spot, from every sinful stain. And then the number one thing in your life every day is holiness unto the Lord. The power will keep on flowing. And sin will not come in your life, in your pipe, to block the pipe. And the anointing will keep on flowing and flowing and flowing. Every day of ministry in Jesus' name. You rise up now and you talk to the Lord. Don't start with, I want to work miracle. Don't start with that. Start with self-examination. Do I have the peace of God in my heart? Is the love of God shed abroad in my heart? Have I been delivered from working iniquity? Ask the Lord. That's what's important. Let him live in your heart as the Prince of Peace. Turn away from the wickedness of life, because there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. Let him forgive you, cleanse you, set you free from all wickedness. Forgiveness and peace. Freedom and the peace of God in the heart. And peace at home. With your wife. With your husband. With your neighbors. Peace in the church. Fellow believers. Christ is our peace. Prioritize purity. Prioritize purity. Prioritize purity. The fourth power. Let his exploits be done, your heart, your life first, and then the power will come.